God's in changing hand. We'll sing the first, second, and nope. Let's sing the first, third, and fourth. How about that? First, third, and fourth. Sing with me. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth and mood can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. On the third. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures, they will never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Amen. I'm thankful that there's some things in this world that don't change. We have a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The world might think that's a bad thing. They want everything to change. Well, there's things I don't want to change. I'm glad that what He said to me yesterday is still true today. And He said He's going to save me for eternity. That is exactly what He meant. And again, it's good to be back this evening. Good to see you. Hopefully you got a little bit of rest this afternoon. And we're ready to worship the Lord together this evening. Well, the congratulations are in order. You should see the smiles up here on this. I mean, they couldn't get any bigger. We congratulate TK and Becca and pray for God's very, very blessings and direction for them. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good. Good to be back this evening. Let's take a couple minutes and shake some hands and welcome each other. Make sure you welcome our visitors, too.
I think it's tilting that way.
Well, I tend to vibrate too.
Okay, if you'll be kind enough to return to your seat, let's also turn to page 268 as we remain standing. 268. I will sing of my Redeemer. Sing it.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Let's sing the last.
I will sing with my Redeemer and His mercy to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Amen. A few pages over, 174. Maybe several pages over.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Let's sing the last.
To Him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels He shall know His name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. You may be seated.
Okie dokie, gentlemen, if you'll get ready to receive this evening's offering, go over a few announcements. And there's one that I left off this morning that Miss Marcia said I have got to be able to get it in tonight. And that's regarding the Step It Up Ladies Retreat, $50 deposit. She says next week. She said she would hang me if I didn't mention that. So be sure to tell her that I told you that the $50 deposit is due next week. Now that we got that one out of the way. We have an intermediate and a primary class party. That's see Miss Becker or Miss Sherry or Miss Provey on the details on that. So it's going to be August 13th. Ladies Fellowship's going to be Tuesday on the 16th at 7 o'clock in the preacher's pastor's classroom. Pastor's class is having an activity that's on the 27th at the fish house up there in Azle, David Baird's Fish House. If you haven't been there, it's an okay place to go. It really is. They have some good fish up there. Enjoy the ride up there and ride back and enjoy the fellowship and just all around good time. And if you're a member of the Metropolitan Baptist Church and you have a directory, we have some new inserts for those who's joined recently. And if you have not picked it up, back there on the back credenza in the foyer. Just come by and pick it up. Those simple little notebooks. You just find the place. You go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and find out where they go. Pop it open, put it in. Away you go, and it's ready to go. It's just like that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful service we had this morning. Lord, I'm asking you to be at the Bibles. Lord, and I know we've already prayed over them once, but Lord, just put them in the hands that you want them to be put in. Lord, you guide their path to where they need to be. Lord, right now I'm asking you to be the offering that we're about to receive, be it the gift in the air, or be it the testimonies tonight that they will honor you. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. This evening we have a couple different things going on, but we're going to start this evening with a report from the trip to Mexico that Bruce and Proby Martin and Jeffrey and Sarah Evans and Brother Milton Martin just made, and Brother Bruce had asked if it would be okay if Jeffrey Evans came and did that for us, and I said I thought that would be just great. So, Brother Jeffrey, would you come, and let's hear about what God did this last week in Mexico. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. Wanted to say first thank you to Pastor and Brother Bruce, who's not here, but I'll thank him anyway. I heard about the trip that was going to be happening, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and when I heard that it was going on and the dates and that Brother Milton was going to be going along, that was really my motivation. Brother Milton has been a real spiritual father to me, taking time to teach me one-on-one and help me to grow in the Lord. He's invited me and taken me along to mission trips with him, and so that motivation really was just to be with him. He's getting on in age, and to be with him again on the mission field, what a blessing. But anyways, we went, and there was, again, he mentioned us and Brother Bruce, Miss Provey, Brother Milton, and also a young lady named Linnea came down from Oak Harbor and joined us down there. So it was the six of us down there, and we stayed in Mexico City Sunday night and Friday night, and then we went off to Progreso for the meetings. The way they ran it down there was, it's about 3.5 days. They started on Tuesday and ran through Friday morning, and we were there for Tuesday through Thursday, where Brother Milton actually spoke, I think, every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in the mornings. And then once Thursday night, Brother Bruce spoke, I think, a couple times a day. And it was interesting when we got there Monday just to check in with the brethren and see kind of what they had laid out. They had a schedule of all the services, and they ran roughly about 7 services a day. I think there was a devotional in the morning and then services. And they fed everybody 3 meals a day. I mean, it's just incredible the love and the hospitality and the real sense of that they have of really getting into the scriptures and giving people what they need. But anyways, I was looking at that schedule, and they had the various men assign their slots and everything. And then a little while later, after Brother Bruce had talked with some of the men, the schedule was changed. And there was him and Brother Milton was in there. And then I found out that I was in a slot too. So had to prepare for that and speak. And I spoke on Thursday. But Thursday night was really where it sort of all came together. Brother Bruce spoke, and he was slotted in that last slot of the evening. But Brother Milton took some extra rest during that day, and then he spoke after Brother Bruce. We had another service. And God really moved there. And I think that night, six people made professions of faith. And so through the whole course of the week, I think there were eight professions of faith. There were a number of other decisions, reconciliation, different things going on that people needed. It was a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And then my dear wife, she had her birthday on Thursday as well. And so we did a nice dinner Friday night with everybody together, and that was a great blessing. And then we came back Saturday. But if I would say anything about it other than the tremendous results that God gave, I would say that just how God affects your heart when you see it. When you see God move and work in people's hearts. I didn't understand a whole lot. Miss Provey was gracious and gave us some a little bit of translation along as the men were preaching. I was super impressed with the quality of the men, of the national men that were there. But we don't see as much of it here in the States. But if you can imagine a service where two or three or four or five or ten people coming to know Christ, how that can do something for you. So if I can encourage you with anything, we support missionaries, and they're here a lot. Go with them. Take a trip. See what God is doing somewhere else. See how He's working, and let God affect you in that way. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Jeffrey. It's good. It's good to hear about what God is doing there. It's been shared, really, I guess, part of this morning's message. You know, mine eye affecteth my heart. And when you see these things and you see how God when I describe my times in Mexico with Brother Milton and some of the trips, when I'm speaking to another pastor, I says, you know the book of Acts. It says, in a very real way, being amongst those brethren down there is like stepping back into the book of Acts. God says it, they believe it, and they act on it. And it's a tremendous, beautiful thing. Well, we also have the opportunity this evening to have a report from some young people that spent the week at camp. And so I'm going to turn this portion of the service over to Brother Curtis, if you'd come.
Well, guys, if y'all want to, go ahead and come on up and get your spot in the choir loft, if you and be ready to give your testimony. Haley will let you go first, and Teresa, if you don't mind, I'll let you go to the end of it and give you a little cap of what took place. We had a chance to go back again, and they was offering half off on returning campers. And so we took advantage of it, and I can see why they was offering half off when we got there. The temperature wasn't all that terrible. I mean, it was only like 96 degrees, but the humidity was like 500%. There was no air moving, and you felt yourself melt. You just melted. And I will go ahead and get it over with for the kids so they don't have to tell you the food was terrible. I will eat anything, and there were several meals there that I did not eat much. And I don't know. Anyway, I can understand why they offered half off to get people back there on that one. But the preaching was wonderful. And so We might bring up some more here in just a little bit, and we'll go ahead and let them get started. So, is it on?
Well, let me start off by saying that I believe God had a plan and a purpose for sending us all to camp. And there was one message in one morning chapel, I believe it was Wednesday, on respect. And that message just... I was so convicted. I knew that all these things that I had done wrong in the past and all these things I had said and never asked forgiveness or never apologized and never repented for just started coming back to me. I felt terrible. But then when I talked to my counselor, I realized I need to change this. I need to change my actions. I did the gator glide. I will never do it again, Drew. Yeah. I was terrified, but at least I did it. But I just want to say that this camp was an extreme blessing to me and no doubt to all of you. And I am speechless on what to say, how amazing the impact the preaching had on me. It changed my life forever.
Okay, so I'm probably going to end up crying, so I'm just going to go ahead and say my decision was basically just to let go of my past, if I don't get to explain everything. So there was a message about when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, and it was about how, like, there was a stone in the way holding them back from the miracle. There was, like, a point he made about stone of doubt, stone of disappointment, different kinds of things. And it was basically just something in the way holding you back from God's miracle. And my stone in my life, I guess, was just my past. And I know I'm not who I once was, and I know that God has changed me, and I do appreciate that, but I was still holding on to, like, little parts of my past, and holding on to even little parts of your past is still holding on to your past. So I just made the decision to let go completely and let God have his will and way in my life no matter what. And, yeah, that's it.
I'm a really quiet person, so if I act nervous up here, it's probably because I am. This is a problem I struggle with, is being quiet and being shy and, like, not having any courage to do what God wants me to, and that's what he spoke to me about camp, and that's pretty much it.
Well, camp was good. I pretty much liked all the preaching. The preaching was very good. Haley probably won't tell you about the gator glide, but you can ask Brother Curtis or Miss Teresa, so it's pretty funny. I know Brother Curtis already told you guys, but I want you guys to hear from me. The food was awful. You can ask Carter. First meal we had was spaghetti. It was nasty. It was chopped up in a bunch of pieces. The sauce wasn't that bad. the noodles were very wet. It's like they left it in a bowl of water for hours. And yeah, I nearly threw up on that meal. I'm glad I didn't. Brother John Gesh, he was our speaker. He was probably one of the best speakers at East Camp that I've ever heard. He's really good and told some interesting stories, some funny ones. I had Ethan and Carter as roommates, and we had three other roommates. One of them, James, I kind of had some funny experiences with him, but I could tell, like, the first couple of services that he absolutely hated the preaching and absolutely hated the singing, and I didn't tell Ethan or Carter this, but I just started praying to him by myself, and later I heard a rumor that he got saved, and I hope I see him in heaven, even though he might have hated me and I might have hated him. But prayer is a powerful thing, and people can make fun of my beliefs and make fun of me praying, and I won't back down. I won't stop praying. People will get saved if we speak up. Well, I had some verses in my Bible that I was going to read, but I'd probably take too long. And yeah, probably just take up most of the service. And let's see, what else? I spent most of my time playing carpet ball. You can ask everyone here. I had a good time with that. Oh, and ask about Haley's crush. So you can. Okay. All right, I'll hand it over to Carter.
So I lost my voice during this one, like I usually do, but I'm probably going to smile through this whole thing. But I really like the preaching there, because like Amanda said, I had a stone, and my stone was pride, and pride kept me in the way of talking to people, and I decided to move that stone and witness to people, to the Lord, and talk to them, and bring them to church. So that was that's what I got out of it. And like Drew said, the food was bad. We can go on and on about it, but that's all I'm going to say. And I really liked having a cabin with Ethan and Drew, especially Drew, because I had a lot of fun with him. I put a knot on his head the first night we were there. It was an accident. But anyways, so it was a lot of fun. And it was good to, I liked the cheers. They were a lot of fun. I liked the games. And I liked how they changed it up, even though there was a lot of us that were from previous times. They changed the games up, so it was a lot of fun. And we weren't like expecting new games. So that's my time at camp.
Okay, as you know, we have no secrets up here. We just tell everything. We did have a good week. Yes, it was hot and the food was terrible. But the kids did really well. We were very proud of all of our kids. They had a good testimony there. I guess the best thing for me, I went for camp to camp, not just for them, but for myself, for the sermons, because I knew it was going to be hot and I knew the food wasn't going to be good. So I went for the sermons, and I was very thankful that we had a good speaker. You guys weren't there with us, obviously, so I just wanted to share the topics that he covered, some of the topics that he covered for the week. He started out the first night talking about the four facts of hell. He just dove right into it. And then he gave them some cautions for life, and he referenced Jonah in that. And then he talked about the stones, which had a good impact on the kids. And but there was one, I guess, that was supposed to be for the kids. But when you're sitting there and you know that these kids are hearing something that they need to hear, and he's kind of in your face, it's really, it affects you. And I guess the one that got me, it was in the Wednesday morning chapel. It's the one that Haley made a reference to. Now, when he started talking about this, I was getting defensive, because it was the three-step program to help your mother lose weight. I was like, what? I'm a mother. Seriously? And, of course, Curtis was like, read the verse, read the verse. And if it was Proverbs 10:1. These guys didn't take notes, so I just want to remind y'all of this. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. I'm a mama, and I sat there and thought about all the times I've been on my knees for my own children. And so it kind of got to me. But his points, I hope you're listening now. His points were the rightness of obedience, the requirement of honor, and the reward of respect. It was a very good message. He had other really good messages, but that one, I guess, is the one that spoke to me, because, you know, we're parents, and I think they should understand that we do have carry a heaviness if they're not doing something right, and if we do have burdens for them. Amen. So I guess my favorite, if I had to say my favorite time of camp, was when after the day was done or whatever, we'd go to the snack shop or hang out or somewhere, and we were able to have conversations with your kids about the sermons. It wasn't just small talk. We actually discussed the sermons. And even though they didn't take notes, they remembered the day. And that was the whole point of us taking them. We're glad that they had fun, but the whole point was for them to hear the word. So thank you.
Give them instructions and what do they do, huh? If you don't mind, I'll take just a little bit here and maybe reflect on a little bit of what each one of them have said and give you a little something myself. The two most impactful messages for myself was the ones that Teresa and Haley mentioned about the what are we doing to our parents? What kind of heaviness do we do to our parents? I thought even as adults, you know, the heaviness that, you know, that we can lay on our parents. And that was a good one. The other one that really impacted me a lot was the one on Jesus raised Lazarus. And the point of the whole thing was, you know, Jesus delayed his coming to him purposefully. And he knew what he was going to do. He knew Lazarus was dead. He knew before he got there, and he knew what was going to take place. He was fixing to raise a man from the dead, not wake him up, but raised him from the dead. And yet, he asked them to move the stone. He could have moved the stone himself. He could have just moved it out of the way. He snapped his fingers, made it disappear, turned it into gravel, or whatever it did. But he asked them to move the stone. And that right there was, oh yeah, there's some stones that we got to get out of our life to, before God can work. And that was a really, really good one. He talked about hell. That was a good one. Talked about Elijah and the prophets. And that was a really, really good one too. It was funny, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was telling them the same thing. We went over the same thing. And they're thinking, oh, wow, that's wonderful. And I'm sitting there thinking, I just told them, we just talked about this 3 weeks ago. Didn't you hear what I said? You did. Okay, yeah, whatever. So this is very good. Ethan, his challenge was to get over shyness. And I was telling him, I said, okay, who are we going to talk to today? We got to practice this. If we're going to do this, we got to practice this. And we're sitting there going by, how about this one? I don't know him. He's a stranger. Yeah, that's the fact of it. Let's go, And right on down the line. And so next thing you know, if you've ever been there or maybe look on the website, Brother Cody Beal is their maintenance man there. Brother Cody Beal is about 6'4". Any way you measure him, he's a very big man, big old heavy beard, and he's always wearing shorts about just past his knees, which I think they're supposed to be long breeches, but when that's just the way they fit him, and he's never dry because he's always sweaty, and he's not only just sweaty but he's dirty because he's always working. He's a jack of all trades, master of every last one of them, I think. And he's a hard-working man keeping this thing up and going up there. And Brother Cody Bill was coming driving by, and I said, Ethan, how about Cody? He goes, no, not him. So I hollered at him, and he stopped the truck. I said, Brother Cody, do you bite? He goes, no, I don't think so. And Ethan's sitting there, oh, that's the worst one yet. No. And I said, never mind. So I let him go. And then Brother Mike Herbster, he's the camp director. Well, he's just opposite of Brother Cody. He's about, they look about eye to eye, and Brother Mike Herbster's about as big as the glasses here. He's a tall, thin fella. And I said, how about Brother Mike? Okay. Well, I didn't even get okay out of his mouth. And we went up there, and I said, Brother Mike, this young man would like to practice his testimony. And, well, he did, and is very well. And he also coached him on a few things he needs to be sure to tell people and stuff of that nature. Well, it wasn't long later, Carter come around and said, okay, now tell Carter. And he told Carter, And Carter will talk to a tree. I do believe. In fact, we witnessed him talking to a tree. I'm starting to wonder if the tree wasn't talking back. But I think those two could be paired up. And they can do something there, I do believe. Drew spent a lot of time playing carpet ball. I don't know what took place in Drew's life this week as he's playing carpet ball. It was very impactful when he prayed for a young man who didn't have evidence of Christ in his life, and he got saved. So there's a smaller camp than we went before. The first week we went, there's, I think, 230 kids, roughly. This time, I think there's 115, 120, something like that. So about half the size. Because of that, the one-on-one time was a whole lot more valuable. And it was good. And of the 120, I think it's 120-something kids, I do believe, if I remember right, there was 12 kids who come to know the Lord this week. Several other decisions, and they were good decisions. They were very good decisions. First time I've heard Brother John Gesh, and he's very good, very very good speaker. He really was, and some very good impactful messages. I'm I'd like to go hear him again. If you have a chance to hear him, I think you need to hear him. He's a very good speaker. And, you know, I challenge you that you will talk about. Twice, three times, and there in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 3, and verse 1 says the word of the Lord was precious. There was we know the story. The Lord called Samuel. He jumps up and runs to Eli. Eli says, go to bed. It wasn't me. Again, the Lord called. Jumps up, runs to Eli. He said, no, what? Yeah. In a time we all have Bible. I didn't get to hear your message this morning. I was back there in the back, but I think I might have got a little gist of the thing, possibly, that here we are publishing the gospel, and it's getting to be where we're working on. You know, everybody can have the gospel in the palm of their hand instantly with the push of a button. And is that's going to be more than likely more prevalent than the printed word, possibly, if I understand things right. And yet, is the word of the Lord precious to us? You know, I was asking the kids, what's precious to you? Well, they all went down the line with their different answers. Some of them's baseball, you know, and different things. You know, some of them sleep. I'm so tired. I'm more food. You know, Haley hit the nose right on the head. Hit the nail right on the head. Haley, you know, something rare. You know, and the word of the Lord was rare then. And it's precious. And yet here we have it right in front of us all the time. Is it precious to us? And the fact that we want to see, we want more. Is it? You know, we've seen all throughout the Old Testament, especially there in the book of Judges, you'll see where the children of Israel, it says, again, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Of course, what do? They got taken into captivity again, and again did, you know, make things right, and the judge, you know, God sent a judge and everything, and you know, the process started over again, and again, you know, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and again, and again, and again. We had a chance to go again to camp. And I challenged them, was the Lord calling them again? Was there something that the Lord was speaking to them about the first time? Or even here amongst us, with Brother Turner or myself upstairs or whatever at the house or something, you know, maybe the Lord's been speaking to them again. And were they? Are they? Are we hearing? Is it precious? Is the Lord calling us? Are we falling, you know, into the rut of, oh, I need to get right. Get right. Snuggle up to the Lord, so to speak. Get right with Him. Say I'm sorry. And then again. Do evil on the side of the Lord. That happened time and time again. You know, there's another again I'd like to mention to you. That's in John. John chapter 14. And Christ himself. You know, let's just read this one right out. Better reading than looking at it, I do suppose. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay, he's telling them, hey, I'm going to go to heaven, prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Folks, he's coming again. I got a challenge for you here. Just a question, a little challenge. Do you believe it? Okay. What are we doing about it? We had a whole lot of Bibles here we're fixing to send along the way. You know. I don't know how many cars pass in front of this place every day. I don't know if they're still doing it. I put in two Pokemon requests here the other day. Our sign was a Pokemon site. Believe it or not, it's a Pokemon site. I'm going to tell you a little story about what happened with that one right quick. And I was watching a fellow pull in the driveway. I did not know that our sign is a Pokemon site. The sign next door is a Pokemon site. And he pulls in the driveway. I was expecting him to turn this way, and he goes this way. I'm standing over here in this door, and I'm watching to see if he goes past. He never does. And I'm waiting, and I go out to the side, and he's sitting over up front, just sitting there. I can tell. He's doing something on his phone. You know, I don't know. And the Lord says, go talk to him. What? Kind of felt like Philip when the Lord tells him to go down and to Gaza. You know, don't worry about what you're going to do. Just go. And when he gets there, he finally sees the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, I just felt the urging. You know, go. You know. What? It's hot outside. As Ethan says, I don't know him. Stranger danger. You know? I'll take my sweet time going out to him. Long way. Well, I can't go talk to him unless I got my Bible. So I got to go to my Bible. Or go to my truck, get my Bible. Stay on. By this time, what does he do? But pulls up in the shade of the tree over there. Really? Okay, Lord. So I go, I talk to him. He said, hey, you know, the Pokemon site's over yonder. He goes, oh, no, this is a Pokemon site right here also. Uh-oh. You know. And we sit there, and I was able to talk to him about the Lord. He didn't give me a very solid answer of his testimony. I asked him if he knew what had happened when he passed away. I said, you know, every person who's ever born is going to die. What's going to happen to you? He goes, I'm going to go to heaven. And he goes, I said, well, why? How do you know this? Well, I believe in God. I said, you know, the Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble. Oh, he looks up. Uh-oh. Well, we do some talking, showing some verses. You know, we got to a point that I just couldn't get him any further. Now I planted a seed, possibly. Okay? Maybe somebody down the road will, you know, take him a little bit further. I don't know. The point is, folks, Jesus is coming again. What are we doing with it? The little silly little games like Pokemon. folks right around the corner from us. Are we living like it? Are we expecting it? There's one last again I'd like to tell you about. And I'd like to think that everybody here who's here on Sunday night probably knows about this one. I can't let it get away from me. Jesus told a master, a rabbi, the man who knows the Bible inside out, what they knew. He says, you must be born again. Now, we can't enter to the kingdom of heaven. We can't get to heaven on our own. It's through Christ, only through Him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And I'm wondering, are we missing the agains? Has the Lord called you? Is the word precious? You see, Eli, it's been a while since he heard from the Lord. He didn't recognize the calling. Samuel, he didn't know the Lord. So how could he recognize the calling? Until Eli said, hey, this could be the Lord. Go listen. And say, when he calls this time, say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Are we stuck in the ruts like the Israelites were, doing the evil again in the sight of the Lord? And are we expecting Him to come again? If anybody's here tonight that does not know the Lord as your Savior, tonight you can be born again. I'd like to invite you to do that. Amen. Preacher.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Curtis. Thank you, young people. Thank you, Jeffrey, the report this evening. Again. You know, we use that word again and again. It's a word that is very common to us. But we have opportunities that we don't buy up and use for the Lord again and again. You know, I'm thankful that we as a church work together. Function as a team. There's leadership, of course, direction, but every one of us has our place and our part. And as we each function in the capacity that the Lord has given to us, beautiful and tremendous great things are done. And again, what a wonderful service this morning, hearing about how those New Testaments came into actuality. Didn't just happen. Folks worked together. Cementina came on board with Tom and Crenny, and in a very real way, Sim submitted himself to Tom's instruction and mentoring, and those two grew in amazing ways. Did you catch what he said? When he came to Tom and Crenny, when he met Tom, they were from a Pentecostal background. But just working with the Word of God consistently, being challenged by the truths of the Word of God again and again and again, brought them to an understanding of biblical truth. And you won't shake a Cementina. They know what they know, and they believe it with all their heart. Our labor, the labor that the Lord's given us, is to again and again be faithful. Be faithful. God blesses faithfulness in our service for Him. And you say, well, you know, this didn't happen, that didn't come, this young man didn't get saved. Well, that's all right. The seed was sown. Maybe someone else had sown that seed before, and Curtis was doing some water and pulling some weeds here and there. Along the way, that young man may come to know the Lord.
I'm sure the young man that was at camp, where's Drew at? I don't know where he got to. He's, oh, there he is. How many times maybe in that youth group he came from had heard the Word of God before? Someone praying for him, a roommate, the preaching of the Word of God, and that second witness, third witness, fourth witness, and he was saved. He was saved. Don't feel bad, Curtis. Sometimes you teach and preach, and you preach and teach. The evangelist comes to town and says, I never heard that before. Brother Hudson gets the credit for a lot of those things that preachers, pastors have been laying the groundwork for. And then God brings the increase. God brings the fruit. But it all comes together as God's people serving for His glory, not our own glory, for His glory. Well, it's been I don't know about you folks, I sure enjoyed the day. Enjoyed what God did for us this morning and hearing those testimonies this evening. Please pray for David and Timothy and Isaiah. When are they due back, Miss Provy? And return with his dear wife and baby. And we're anxious to see all of them. And again, Bruce spent the day in Houston. Returning, is he returning tonight or tomorrow? Oh, he did tell me that yesterday, but that slipped. Anyway, beloved, let's stand together. We're so grateful for God's mercy to us. He's a God that never fails. He's a God that never falters. And we can worship Him in confidence, knowing that His love for us will also never falter or fail. Father, we bow before You tonight, thanking You, Lord, for what You do in these young people's hearts and lives. Thank You for souls saved during the preaching trip to Mexico. Thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy and grace to Brother Milton, allowing him to make this trip. Lord, I don't know if he'll have another trip in him, but Lord, I'm grateful for this one. Thank You for what You did along the way there for each of those on that trip, for David and Timothy and Isaiah, the conferences, the youth camps that they've been in, and the souls that have been saved. We're so grateful, Lord, and we want to exalt and give You the glory for it all. Thank You, Father, for what You had sowed to the hearts of our young people this week. Father, please continue to work in their lives. Lord, lessons learned and even challenges that come into our lives, we pray that You would bring it all together. Father, I claim the promise that all things work together for good to them that love You, that know You. And so, Father, please, in all that's gone on in these young folks' lives this week, use it to make them the people that You'd have them to be. Help us as a church, myself as a pastor, Brother Curtis, as their youth director, and for all their parents as well. God, please, please, help us to be that team, to see them come to be the young men, the young women that You would use for Your glory and for Your honor. We love You, Lord. Thank You for this night. Dismiss us, Father, with Your blessing and with might we go with You You on our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.